Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket.
Welcome to County Cricket Natters. I'm Annie Chave and I'm here with the old guard, Sam Dalling and Dan Whiting. We're here to bring you our thoughts on the latest round in the Championship. It was a relatively quiet one in the First Division with only two games going ahead, but it wasn't without excitement or controversy. And as has been the case this season, the second division has brought us plenty of runs. And to go through the second division, I'm going to pass you over to Dan Whiting.
We just read out scorecards, don't we, Annie? That's what
we do.
Yeah. Sorry. Never mind the fact that, you know, we've been consistently in the top five Apple cricket podcasts in the summer over the last 3 years, ever since we've been doing this.
But, have we?
You know, we just read scorecards out. That's all we do, isn't it, Sam?
That's all I tend to do, to be honest. That's what I do. Just most of my life I spend just reading scorecards.
That's right.
And
we don't give up our time and for nothing for anything.
We've never had any decent guests on or anything like that. You know, we've anyway, let's go to Derby.
Let's keep being bitter. Come on, let's keep doing it. Let's get stuck.
Let's get the knives out.
Yeah.
Right. No, let's go to Derby. Right. Yay. Where I saw Danny Lamb bowling to Matt Lamb, having just turned over from Stephen Lamb commentating on the Somerset game. And it was all a bit surreal, really. Derbyshire were 246 all out in their game against Sussex, wickets shared right around. Sussex then got 479, 100 there from Cheteshwar Pujara. What a class act he is.
Yeah.
James Coles, I think he's going to be a serious player. He got 72. And they bowled Derbyshire out for 109. Jaden Seals, Pfeiffer, I think he's going to cause some real problems for the England batting in the Test Series this summer. Sussex are clear at the top of the table now, having played a game less already. And they have got, they're away at Glamorgan, then they go to Yorkshire, and they've got Middlesex at Hove. If they win those three, I think they're more or less as good as up already. Annie, what do you think? It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, and wouldn't that be delightful? What a turnaround from the last couple of seasons that have been so grim for them. And it isn't just the Simpson factor, but I think it does make a difference. Simpson has obviously bringing in a bit of experience, obviously, and he's a great player himself, although, of course, he only got three in this innings. But he's been a really, really great player in Middlesex, and he's just transferred that down to Sussex. And I think it's made a difference. And like you say, Pujara, they've got Pujara and they've got this constant guy that scores runs all the time. It's a great, great story if they can do that and come up.
Sam, I want to come to you about the couple of bits of recruitment over the winter that Sussex have done. Go on, mean, first of all, Simpson, Nanny's just discussed that. Jaden Seals and Danny Lamb, who both, they're doing the business week in, week out. How good a bit of work is that by their recruitment team down at Sussex?
Excellent. You asked me about Danny Lamb before, and I told you that I don't know that much about him, but he is. I watched his sister, by the way, play back beautifully for Emma. Emma, yes. But Danny looks to be one of those cricketers. I think I've said it before that he will take 30 wickets in a season and score you 600-700 runs. So if you just have a quick look at the scorecard or the averages, which is all we tend to do, you might not see his value, but there will be match-winning contributions and game-saving contributions. So Lamb's excellent. Seals to go alongside Pujara, who is, I think he averages something like 80 for Sussex. He averages almost as many runs as Ollie Pope does at the Oval for Surrey, but he does it home and away. Seals like looks a proper quick bowler, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is the West Indies have, we all know the greats they had. Some of them were over actually in England this week, and then they had Kirtley and Courtney a little bit later on, and West Indies cricket has that fallen away a little bit, and I know it's been a bit fractious, and what you want is a strong West Indies, actually. It's brilliant when they are doing well and winning test matches, and they went over and won in Australia, and they're over here in England in the summer, and I think, yeah, Seals getting used to that Duke's ball, knowing English conditions. All right, he's not playing at many test grounds, but he looks like the kind of bowler that might cause a little bit of trouble for England's batters. Hopefully it'll be fun, you know.
If he doesn't, Shamar Joseph at the other end might, you know. So, yeah, we'll see. Or even Alzari Joseph, you never know.
Well, what about Archer? I presume he won't be playing for Sussex this season, but
played the other day in Barbados, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Playing club cricket, wasn't he?
And he's obviously being hugely bigged up for the World Cup at the moment. So,
yeah. Well, Derbyshire's struggling. They're second from bottom, having played a game more as well than the sort of their nearest rivals. So yeah, I think it could be a season of struggle up there. Let's go further up the M1. Let's go to Headingley. And Glamorgan got 221. There was 4 wickets there for Dan Moriarty and 4 for Dominic Bess. Yorkshire then 519 for 7. Finlay Bean, 173. Joe Root. That's a vegan lineup there, isn't it? That is a vegan. Bean and Root. There you go. Joe Root playing against his brother. He got 156. There was 5 for Mason Crane as well. I think this turned because in Glamorgan's second innings, there was 120 overs of spin alone. Sam Northeast got 142. Colin Ingram got 113. Then Lightning came along and the umpires thought, sod this for a game of soldiers. And off they went and the game finished up as a draw. Sam, Finlay Bean.
Finlay Bean. He is starting to come good. Do you remember a couple of years ago when there was this young lad who played for Yorkshire Twos with the same surname and the same first name? They played a game at Nottinghamshire, which probably means it was at Lady Bay, which is just across the road from Trent Bridge. And he made 365, I think. I remember it because Marcus Struscoffic, there's a Somerset reference for our biggest fans. Struscoffic previously held the record for the highest score in the second 11 Champo. He had 320 odd and Bean broke it. And at that point, people are going, oh, who is this lad? Is he going to make the step up? You never quite know. But it was brilliant to see. He's been in and out of their side a little bit. Must be amazing to bat with Joe Root and Harry Brook. But naturally, those two are going to take the spotlight. But yeah, Finlay Bean could be ideal because Adam Live is still scoring runs. You need an opening partnership. If you can get a good opening partnership, going to be in with a decent chance of promotion, which is Yorkshire's minimum aim, really.
Yeah. Annie, Joe Root's come out today and said that there should be less cricket because, you know, we don't just read out averages on this show, do we? You know, he's come out today and said there should be less cricket and the PCA have backed him. But surely, you know, if money comes in from the county members, which it does at virtually every county, and there are handouts from the ECB, then are they expecting to get paid less or what's going on there?
Yeah, I'd be fascinated to see what some of the older players who played in the John Player League, the Benson and Hedgecut, and the 3-day championship game, would say about players saying they're playing too off too much at the moment. It's interesting, isn't it? But also, I mean, it's interesting that Root is saying this. Whether he's being used as a mouthpiece, I don't know. But he's not somebody who plays much championship cricket. I mean, he's played a few at the beginning of this season, but he's not someone who plays much championship cricket. And he's also someone a couple of years ago who didn't play for Yorkshire when they really needed him to, and was playing golf with his friends. So, you know, I kind of, yeah, I can take it with a pinch of salt, because, all right, we've got a lot, you know, it's tough playing cricket. It does get in the way of golf, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly does, Sam.
But it's not conducive. Playing too much cricket is not conducive to us having eight bowlers who bowl 95 mile an hour really quickly on flat decks once a season. Because if you get eight of them, remember, they only need to play one or two games each. Yep. It doesn't matter if they keep breaking down. We just want eight of them ready to rotate. That's all we need.
Yeah, on £6,000 a year.
Yeah,
they're on a paper game.
There's so much to say about that. It's just a little bit too convenient that you know, Rue is one of the friends of the clique that are, you know, those in charge. It just feels a little bit strange at the moment. But you know, I I'm not a player, and I don't play cricket, and I'm not one of the people that has to travel all this way and stuff. But it seems to me that it's always been the case.
Yeah, definitely. I think Matthew Maynard once said, I bet there's not a county cricketer in the country without points on his driving license. Mm. So yeah, there you go. Let's go down to Lords. First day, pissed down with rain. Last day, it pissed down with rain. But in between, Leicestershire got 306, 109 for Peter Hanscom on his return to his old stomping ground. He never done that for bloody Middlesex, did he? Four wickets for Ethan Bamba as well. And then Middlesex batted. They got themselves into a decent position, actually, until the rain came down on Monday. Sam Robson, 162, returning from injury. We discussed him on the show last week, and they were thinking, where does he fit in? Well, you've got to have Sam Robson in that side. Leas de Plooy as well, good bit of recruitment there, 131, but the game finished up in a draw. Middlesex and Leicestershire are both sitting equal second now behind Sussex, albeit having played five games. And he's Sam Robson. He's still doing the business. He's 35 this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously missed the last couple of games, and was like you were saying, that we're wondering where he's going to fit in. He's fitted in superbly, straight in again, 162. What, you know, great, absolutely delighted, Sam, that I kept him in my fantasy team.
That's a record. What are we, 15 minutes in? Jesus.
Yeah, like, I know.
All the lacquer's off the new ball already.
I'll have you know that there's one of us three sitting on top of the County Cricket Natters fantasy cricket draft table.
No chance, really? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But I just want to say I'm really delighted for Hanscom, and it must be a little bit bitter for the Middlesex fans, because he really never, ever managed to get a good score, and he never really fired at Middlesex. But since he's been at Leicestershire, he's been doing really, really well. So, you know, that's good. And I'm really pleased for Leicestershire that, you know, they're still up there and you know, not collapsing.
No, Sam, Ethan Bamba, Mini Mertz, is he going to take, you know, is he going to be as good as Tim Murtagh? Is he going to sort of go on and be one of those guys, do you think?
I mean, that's a big call, isn't it, to say he's been as good as someone who's taken 1,000 first-class wickets. Is he going to go on and play a test match for Ireland? I don't know, and wait for England, and he got a passport. But he's certainly a quality performer at county level. He's not everybody's cup of tea in terms of what they look for a bowler, but I think he's brilliant, and he is going to become, if he's not already, a Master of Lords. What is he, 25 years old? Had that brilliant year a couple of years ago, then not so great last year, almost kind of second full season, but he's 20 odd short of 200 first class wickets. I mean, even if what Joe Root says doesn't come to pass. There's still a lot of games of cricket he has to play. He'd have to play for another 15 years to come close to Murtagh. But for Middlesex, I think he's going to end up being one of those players who, well, you think he's irreplaceable, but then they've kind of replaced Murtagh with Bamber. But I think he will be a bit of a legend at Middlesex.
Yeah, he's time in and time again. He comes in and he has a good spell, and he's always in the wickets. He's a good, solid player.
What he needs to do, though, is a little bit like Sam Cook has done, is turn himself into a multi-format bowler. Like, Sam Cook is a brilliant white ball bowler now. And Bambe's still young enough to do that. But that, I think that's probably the next thing he's got to look at. I remember he played that T20 at Lord's, wasn't it, Dan, on TV. Laurie Evans went absolutely nuts with Will Jacks. And Bamber, I think it was his debut, with like 40 off two overs or something. He needs to work out a way to succeed in the white ball game next.
Yeah, what he needs to do, actually, is put on another 20 miles an hour of pace and play about 15 less games a season. But, you know, there you go. There you go.
He
right.
He needs to play golf, I think, really.
Yeah. With Le Grand Fromage.
I hate to say it, but we are sounding so bitter.
Oh,
right,
we are, Robbie. Sorry. I apologise.
Yeah. Anyway, let's table Sussex. 4 games, 74 points. Middlesex, 5 games, 68. Leicester, 5 games, 68. Yorkshire, 5 games, 60. Northants, 4 games, 54. Glamorgan, 4 games, 44. Derbyshire, 5 games, 43. Gloucestershire, 4 games, 39. Now, before we go on to Division 1, I'd just like to say, and it needs mentioning, how sad we are at County Cricket Natters. The news that came out of Worcestershire last week regarding Josh Baker, and, you know, big love to everyone up at Worcestershire, all the players, the staff, the fans up there, but also to Josh's family as well.
Yeah, life is so fragile, and it just really, really does show what is important. And we really care about the players themselves as well, and really, really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a terrible week for the game because, I mean, there was bad news out of Gloucestershire with Ben Wells as well, who had to retire through a heart defect. And Ben Wells' last innings was actually 108. But, you know, at least Ben Wells has still got his life. That's the thing, you know. So, but, yeah, just, you know, life is fragile, and just look after yourselves, guys.
Okay, well, moving on to Division 1, Sam.
Yes, it feels a bit, is trite the right word? Insignificant to talk about cricket. Very eloquently put, Dan and Annie. By the way, I echo those sentiments. Right, well, moving on. Lancashire, up at Old Trafford. Kent went there and won, didn't they? It's not all right at Lancashire. It was meant to be a new regime. Dale Benkenstein's come in. Kent, they went and won there for the first time since 1997. Zach Crawley played. Good to see him. Wasn't him, though, who started with the bat. Joey Everson, what a signing he's turned out to be. 71 in the first innings. And then a young lad who was at Somerset, actually, when he was a kid. Nathan Gilchrist, 6 foot. Where's Agar the Aussie? Good overseas signing that. Where's Agar, brother of Ashton? They shared 10 wickets between them. Lanks, well, they fared a little bit better in their second innings. Couldn't have been much worse than 92. They were following on. They made 332. Effectively, they were hoping for rain, I think. Young Bell got 50. Hurst did too. Balderson, 48. Loads of batters got scores but didn't kick on. Great to see Parky bowling. The return to Lancashire. Harry Finch, by the way, what a stumping that was off Parkinson.
Oh, yeah.
Go and take a look. And to complete my reading of the scorecard, the runs were knocked off by Daniel Bell Drummond, 79. He is in superb nick. Dan, is it too late? Is it too late for an England call-up for Daniel Bell Drummond?
No, he's only 30. I saw him the other week against Surrey, and he got runs there. think he's got 200s and 250s so far this season. He's leading that team really well. He's innovative in his field placings. He thinks about it. And I think he's a quality captain. Last time Kent won at Lancashire, according to Alex Code at BBC Kent, was 1997. Mbop was number one by Hanson in the charts. Daniel Bell Drummond was three. So you can hear the champagne corks like popping from Beckenham to Broadstairs and from Dover to Darrance. They're all like going mad in Kent this evening. But no, fantastic for them. And I'm absolutely chuffed.
I've got a better stat than that. I do have better stat than that. I read that this was the first time Lancashire followed on since 1888.
Against
Kent.
Oh, against Kent. Right. Against Kent. I was like, surely that can't be true. He'd have left that followed on. Okay. Dan, by the way, giving Alex Hode the credit. If you listened to my intro, I already told you it was 1997, the last win.
Oh, I do apologise. Yeah.
You're so relaxed.
Sorry, Sam. Mate.
So the listeners can't see Dan, but he's on this huge, must be a double king bed or something with a lovely backdrop. He's draped himself all over it. He just looks very relaxed for a man doing it, for a man who's essentially working. Annie Lancashire, what on earth
what is going
on there?
I mean, last season, Bumble said that he thought they were going to win, and then we've had a look on paper at Lancashire. They've got Bahan, they've got Jennings, they've got really not, you know, and they've got, of course, they've got Hartley and they've got Lyon in bowling. I mean, obviously April, May isn't the best time for spinners, but you know, they've got a big, long, good lineup on paper. So what is going on? I don't know. It's a real surprise. Did not expect Kent to win at all at Lancashire. It's a big surprise.
Yeah, Dale Benkenstein and Will Porterfield have both got their work cut out up there. Really have. It's a big, big job. Mm-hmm. And big expectation up there as well, because it's a massive membership. It's a big fan base. And, you know, they won't be happy up there. The natives will get restless quite quickly. And I just hope that they can turn it around. Someone said to me today that they expected Lancashire and Hampshire to go down. Who'd have thought that at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, could they go down?
Lancashire?
Think it's realistic? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, they're in real trouble already. You know, the warning signs are there. You don't win many games of cricket when you're 48 for 7. And then, you know, you've got to then follow on and you're always going to be behind the eight ball then. Mm. And I just think that the problems might have been there for a few years, actually.
It's a little bit depressing, isn't it? Sorry, Lancashire fans. Brilliant win for Kent. Delighted for them. I expected them to go down. I also said Somerset might go down. That's not looking very likely. But it's good to see, I mentioned him already, Harry Finch, because Kent fans will be pretty pissed off watching the likes of Ollie Robinson and Jordan Cox doing their keeping elsewhere. So good to see Finch with a little bit of nifty glove work. Only one other game. It feels like a distant memory. It doesn't really feel like it happened in the last round. It started on Friday. It finished on Saturday. Essex travelled to Somerset. It was very, very wet on Thursday. The ground staff, by all accounts, did a superb job to even get a game on. The pitch was a tad green and there was a lot in it for the bowlers, and both sides have some very, very good bowlers. Seam bowlers in particular. I mean, people will say, oh, Somerset left Bashir out. They played five seamers, but both sides had a look at it. Essex could have left Harmer out, and they've also got Cook and Porter. So if you're a team who wants to try and stifle Essex, preparing a green teamer isn't necessarily the way to go. Annie, you were there. I mean, it must have been fun. It must have felt like a T20 at times, though.
Yeah, you try being there with Anthony Gibson. You know how pessimistic he is. Even right at the end, he was like, oh, God, you know, I know we're going to do this. I mean, it was so up and down. Essex were really, really strong at the end of the first day. It was a great start by Somerset getting Essex out, and then suddenly you know, Somerset are all out, and for less than we got Essex out, 156 we got Essex out, and 128 we were all out, and it was so sort of like, oh right, here we go again. So it was a real surprise. On the second day, we expected to come in and see Elgar batting. Expected the pitch to dry out a little bit, but it carried on. It carried on being inconsistent, and it wasn't just on the pitch. I have to say, this is really, really important. There was movement. There was a lot of movement, but it was in the air and it was off the pitch. It wasn't just off the pitch. And there was some great bowling by Porter and Cook. They were really, really, really great. And again, the Lamonby did really well in the first innings, as did Wesley for Essex. It was a really, really up and down game. You could never call it.
Sam Cook has been getting a lot of plaudits, as many people, myself included, who think he may well get an international cap. It feels like, while he made a squad once a while back, the chances of Jamie Porter playing international cricket have gone away. And there was a spell a couple of years ago, I think it was 2022, where he kind of faded, hadn't he? He wasn't quite as potent as he had been in previous years. Remember, he took 85 wickets back in 2017. But last couple of years, under the radar, perhaps with Cook and Harmer taking the headlines, he's got back to his best. 57 last year at 19. 25 already this year. Don't write Jamie Porter off, basically.
No, he's a quality act, isn't he? He's there year in, year out. You always see the same guys at the top of the bowling columns every year, and his name appears alongside Abba, Abbas, you know, Ben Code, some real quality operators, and Jamie Porter's up there. I watched quite a bit of this game, and I thought the ground staff did really well. There's a lot of crap being spoken on social media about, you know, like Somerset doctoring the pitch. I thought they did pretty well, actually, to get the game on. We've had that much rainfall throughout this spring that I just, you know, I think some credit needs to go
there
to the ground.
There were pools of water on the pitch on the Thursday when they all arrived there. They were surprised, and they both wanted the game to go ahead. You know, what else do you do? Do you leave it and make it a 3-day game? You know, that wasn't something that they wanted to do.
Exactly. And I thought both sides bowled pretty well. You still got to put the ball in the right areas. I thought some of the batting left a little bit to be desired, if I'm honest with you. I thought a lot of batters were either just trapped on the crease and nicked off to the slip cordon, or, like we saw bizarrely, like especially with the Somerset first innings, people running down the track and hoiking it for Dixon, hoiked one for six over mid wicket. I think it was the second or third over, and thinking, what the hell is going on here? So they obviously didn't trust it, but you know, I think you've got to actually try and guts it out. And I like the look of Lamonby. I've seen Lamonby, saw him get 100 the other week at the Oval, and he didn't get many in that Somerset innings, but I think he was like the eighth out or something like that. And he actually tried to grind it out. And he really impressed me there, because, you know, I saw at the Oval, he's got the shots, he's got the flair, but he's also got the mentality where he's prepared to guts it out.
He does. He got his 38 and 116 balls. He bats well with Umid as well, who they're very different players, and I think they work well together. I think Umid changed the impetus of the game a little bit, took the attack to the bowling, and that was it was an important innings. He had it in both innings. But it was Lamonby that held the innings together in the first innings, definitely.
I thought it was a really good game of cricket, actually. Mm. And as we say in umpiring circles, a quick game is a good game.
I bet you do, yeah. But I don't. A lot of praise has to go to Sam Cook and to Jamie Porter, because they really, really bowled well.
Yeah.
They are very good bowlers. Well, that win for Somerset takes them up into second. Remember, though, that Surrey, Warwickshire and Durham all had a week off. So Essex still top the table with 74. Lancashire currently bottom with 27. Everyone else, as you might expect, is in between. I'll run through the order. Somerset, Surrey, Warwickshire, Durham, Kent, Worcestershire, Nottinghamshire, Hampshire. Still lots of points to play for, but Hampshire and Lancashire, perhaps a surprise bottom two. I think that... it's about all I have to say about Division One, Annie.
Yep, and I think that wraps up our reading of scorecards and our beige commentary for this episode. So we will be back next week to bore you rigid and
read out some more scorecards.
Not that we're better. And hope everyone enjoys the next week, and I hope you join us. Thank you for listening.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Social Podcast Network.